Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Bengal Tiger Recruiting Podcast, Monday Pod. I am Billy Embody. With me is Shay Dixon. We are coming off a busy recruiting weekend for the Tigers. Lots of sports going on right now for LSU fans to keep track of. Spring ball just took a break for spring break. But Shay, they kept us busy this weekend with a who's who of talent that was in town for the recruiting weekend, and they came away with a commitment, which we will lead off with, and that is Charles Ross, the four-star linebacker for On3 out of Houston North Shore, one of the top linebackers in the entire country, pledged to LSU. And look, this is a guy that, kind of like Zion Williams, who we'll talk about in a bit, we have to keep an eye on the Charles Cross thing, but he can really play and has the speed to bring to LSU's linebacker group that Blake Baker is building back up now.
I think that's the thing, right? Billy, speed is the name of the game here. As you, if you're watching on YouTube, you see On3 right now, the four major services, three of them have him ranked. On3 is the only one with the four star on him. But I was talking to Charles Power earlier, who runs our On3 national scouting and rankings team. And he said, look, we were high on him as well. Good track times, fast, and coming out of a really good North Shore program. I like this addition. They already had Keelan Moses, a four-star. You add another four-star in Charles Ross. And I think what's important here, Billy, is that Blake Baker, who you hired LSU to be your DC, to be your linebackers coach, to go out, and he was billed as someone and is billed as someone who is just as good at the X's and O's and teaching and developing as he is at recruiting, because he's still a younger guy, go out and hit the trail. This was one of the first guys he offered at linebacker when he got to LSU. It was Charles Ross's first SEC offer. So this is one that I think, had he not committed to LSU, was going to start really steamrolling offers this spring. This was big for LSU to go ahead and get it done. Now you've got two linebackers committed.
And for us, we, I believe, both had him in our class prediction piece back in early February, when we dropped them on the Bengal Tiger just after LSU had offered. We knew that Blake Baker was prioritizing him. And sure enough, Charles Ross felt the love, committed to LSU this weekend on the visit. He's really excited. And you know, LSU fans have kind of clamored for a little bit of, you know, more results at North Shore being one of the top high school programs in the state of Texas. And they get that with Charles Ross, CJ, as he goes by, in committing. He added 71 tackles last year, 6 sacks, 2 pass breakups, 2 picks, which included a pick 6. And he's been clocked around that 10.5 range, 10.6 in the 100-meter dash, which is really, really impressive. You talk about the speed that you need to play in the SEC. He's got it. And you know, you circled this weekend visit, didn't know it was going to come away with a commitment, but you felt like things were trending in the right way. We just didn't know he was going to shut it down so quickly. But kudos to the staff, Blake Baker, Brian Kelly, the whole crew that was involved in this one, because he's a guy that could have very well, when you get into spring ball and have all those college programs roll through North Shore, could have blown up, could have taken summer officials, but now he's locked in with LSU. So good news there for Blake Baker in the future of that linebacker room. It was big to also have LSU's number one overall commitment in the class of 2025 on campus. That is Bryce Underwood making it back down to Baton Rouge to spend the weekend recruiting for the Tigers. And, you know, when this visit came together, it was just another sign that he is firmly locked in with LSU, and with that star power at quarterback, running back, receiver that they've assembled, and they are working to continue to add in the 2025 class. This past weekend was pretty special on that front as well, Shay.
I don't think it could have gotten any better. I mean, you had a dinner that, and look, let's preface this by saying Underwood, if you're looking at this number one class as a whole, what is it highlighted by? We believe it will be and if these guys go wire to wire at number one and sign, that LSU will be the first team to sign the number one quarterback, receiver, and running back in the same cycle, in Underwood, DeCorian Moore, and Harlan Berry. So to get Underwood not only back in town, and he'll be back in town for the spring game, but he committed in January. He's back now for a big visit weekend, back for the spring game. The spring game, Billy, will always have big visitors, but he got to have a Friday night dinner with Jamie French and Caleb Cunningham, two notable receivers who are ranked in the top five of the On3 industry rankings. French was once committed to Bama. After the coaching changes, he backed off. So he's a Florida guy they're on pretty heavy, as you see, the number four receiver in the country. And then Cunningham, who's a five-star, a top five receiver in the country, checking in right there ahead of him as the number three receiver. Those are two of a handful of big guys. Look, Cortez Mills, Kalik Lockett, there are other receivers they're after that are going to visit later this month. But when you start out with DeCorian Moore, the number one receiver in Texas, you start out with Teron Francis, the number one receiver in Louisiana, and Moore being the number one receiver in the country, you swing for the fences, Billy, right? And that's what they're doing. So to get Underwood in on the same weekend you had French and Cunningham, knowing you've got Lockett and Mills still set to visit, maybe it'll be for the spring game when Underwood's back. I think that they are setting up very well with what Hankton and the staff on the offensive side are doing. I see no way that this isn't like a banner wide receiver class. Like, they are going to haul in a number of elite guys here.
Yeah, and the nice thing is like you alluded to, they're swinging for the fences. They've got DeCorian Moore. They've got Teron Francis. Those are two impressive receiver prospects. Moore, I just saw him at the Under Armour Dallas camp, and he took home MVP honors from On3, and he kind of just competed in half the camp because he's in track season. He doesn't want to, you know, put too much stress on him, but his performance was so impressive that we were left with no doubt about who the MVP of that camp was. He was that good. And he has been that good in just about every setting. So when you have a guy like him, and you have a guy with the upside that Teron Francis brings to the table, you swing for the fences, and whether they end up taking a third, a fourth, a fifth receiver, they're swinging for that elite talent. Jamie French is going to take an LSU official visit, so that'll be something to watch. Ohio State is kind of that key competition there. Caleb Cunningham, it seems like his recruitment might very well be even more open than we think, but it's still probably a little difficult to see him getting out of the state of Mississippi in the end. But LSU's really impressing there. He told me he had a great visit. He loved everything about it, and getting to spend time with Bryce Underwood was probably important. And the same goes for, you know, a guy like James Simon, who's in town, you know, the running back piece. They've got Harlan Berry committed in the class of 2025, the number one running back in the country. And then you get James Simon to swing through again. And I think he's going to even be back again for a spring practice. They're just continuing to check the right boxes there with a guy like James Simon as well.
Yeah, I think that they're setting themselves up really well here. Look, Simon is who Frank Wilson, the running backs coach, wants. Harlan Berry out of New Orleans area, number one running back in the country. And then you see a guy like James Simon. On3, we've got him ranked as the number eight running back. The industry, he checks in as a top 10 running back at number nine. So very highly thought of. You want that 1-2 punch, and they're very different runners. Also worth noting, Frank Wilson got JT Lindsey out of Ashe, Alexandria, and this past weekend, he's blown up with offers, and he's jumped into the On3 top 300 after being unranked. He's the number 11 running back in the country. So the focus now is on Simon, yes, but look, keep an eye on down the road, because it's not just these big names we're talking about that they've offered, but guys like JT Lindsey in Louisiana who were on campus, don't have an offer, but could, and because you put in this work ahead of time, because they've been around on junior days and events like this, they've seen practices, they've already got that familiarity with the program. But to bring it back to the top, Underwood in town, massive. He wasn't sure if he was going to be able to make it. Now it looks like two visits in the span of a month, Billy, after he shut things down in January. He's not looking at other teams. And I firmly believe, at least with On3, he'll go wire to wire as the number one overall prospect. So he's going to attract other top talent. I think this number one class only continues to get stronger. Yeah. And I will say this. I think that they came out of the weekend. Cunningham's been around some. I think they went come out of the weekend at receiver. French is the guy that suddenly it's like, okay, maybe he's not an Ohio State lock. Maybe he will give LSU a look. Toss in Cortez Mills in Florida. Toss in Lockett over in your neck of the woods. In Texas. And I think that that's kind of the group we're looking at right now at receiver.
Yeah, and they'll, you know, Jamie French was a guy that Cortez Hankton has had a lot of interest in for a long, long time. And then he ends up committing, I think it was early commitment to Alabama. I could be totally off on that, pretty sure it was. He backs off things, and who's to say he wasn't going to do that in the end to begin with, but LSU's been able to kind of rally there and get back into that race. And Jamie was a guy that was high on LSU pretty early in his recruiting process, and things just kind of ballooned up for him. And so it's good to see them circling back on him. I'm with you. I think Caleb Cunningham has been to LSU, I want to say 4 or 5 times in the last year. He's been around plenty. It's not too bad of a drive for him to come in. And now they're swinging for other guys. And Cortez Mills, who's made a move up in the latest on 300, told me he's going to reschedule and get to campus. Kalik Lockett's going to be there for the spring game. But one other name, as LSU continues to target elite receiver town, is the number one receiver in 2026, was also on campus. And that story will be on the Bengal Tiger this week with his reaction to the visit. You can subscribe for just $1 for your first month to check us out at thebengaltiger.com. We had full coverage of the visitor weekend, wire to wire. Tons of reactions from Under Armour Dallas coming, but he was really impressed. And one thing he honed in on, and a lot of these guys are, is the development that Cortez Hankton has shown with these receivers that he's had in the program and in his past as well. And that was something that was hammered home to him when he was on campus.
I'll say this too, Latrep. I'll wrap my receiver thoughts up with this. A lot of people are saying, don't skip over to Corian Moore here. Give us the intel. I saw that. Billy, you were at Under Armour Dallas. Fans see, okay, he's scheduling visits now, and he's going to go look at schools, and he's got a group of top teams. I'm going to have more on the Bengal Tiger this week. As Billy said, it's $1 to sign up. We hang out there every day. That's where we put all the recruiting scoop we get. And shout out to everyone. We've been growing like crazy. So love you guys. Thanks to everyone who's supported. But a quick snippet on DeCorian Moore, and you've been around him plenty as well over in Duncanville, so I'll let you speak on it if you want to. But I'm not pressing the panic button here. Why? Because LSU still has Bryce Underwood committed. LSU still has the nation's number one recruiting class. LSU is coming off the number one offense in college football. They've had 2 Heisman winners at quarterback in 5 years. He sees what playing for Underwood could do for him because he plays for a pretty good quarterback right now in Keelan Russell, who's going to play at a high level whenever he gets to college. So I don't think that, look, yes, Texas, where he's got family ties, we'll watch it. We'll monitor it. I'm not worried about Ohio State. I'm not worried about Oregon. I'm not worried about any of these other teams right now for DeCorian Moore because he's got that relationship with LSU staff. I mentioned all these commits. I mentioned players that he knows, but nothing's going to change the fact that, one, he committed to LSU and said development, putting guys in the pros. They're about to have 2 first-round draft picks at receiver. And, yes, Texas can get a guy in, and they've got the guy running the fastest 40, all that. Texas has had one receiver go in the first round in like the past 18 years. LSU's had one go every few years at this rate. So his favorite player is Odell Beckham, all these things. Like, there's a reason he committed to LSU. There's a reason he's maintained, I'm still committed to LSU, even with visits being planned. Clip it later. I won't be shocked if he doesn't take half those visits.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, and he is a guy that I think his process was accelerated as far as a decision a little bit quicker than just about everyone expected entering last summer. I don't know if many people would.
Well, nobody on the Texas side saw it coming. It was LSU who set it up.
Exactly, exactly. And so there is that piece of it where LSU's had control here for a long, long time. And, you know, it's about riding the waves. And with the number one receiver in the country, a guy that our Cody Belair was chatting with him this weekend. And he said he's one of the best receivers in the last 5 years. You know, he's top 10 in the overall prospects. And that was just kind of us talking off the cuff. We didn't really go into a deep dive on it. But whenever you have somebody this highly recruited, other teams aren't just going to back off. You know, Texas has recruited Duncanville really hard. They got 2 of his teammates from last year's class on board. And they've got others in the past as well. And so it is a matter of riding the waves that is that are going to come when he does eventually get back to Austin, where he does have family. If he does visit Oregon or Ohio State, you know, Oregon's going to take a big swing. Will Stein has ties to Texas, their offensive coordinator. Ohio State is somebody that probably early on last spring when I talked to him and I talked to a source around his recruitment, that was one that they had circled. That was before things got really heated with LSU and ended up in a commitment. So these four schools that he's talking with make a lot of sense, but make no mistake about it. He loves him some LSU. He loves getting back around Cortez Hankton. One thing, I talked with his mom for a little bit at the camp, and she said they were so impressed with the recovery facility that just got built at LSU and all those, I guess perks of being in that building that can afford a receiver, all the VR technology that they can put DeCorey in and all different stadiums and atmospheres and things like that and help him train. This is a very NFL minded prospect. And so I think all the things that LSU has to sell in NFL development make a lot of sense. And I think LSU has a really good shot to keep him. And so, like you said, Shea, we'll be tracking it. You know, this is a guy that's probably going to take some visits, but LSU has done a good job kind of fending some of those off too. So this isn't going to be a open and shut case where he's, you know, absolutely 1,000,000% done to LSU, but they're in a much better spot than kind of the whole, it's not a circus because DeCorian doesn't really like talking about it, but, you know, just kind of intrigue around an elite prospect like this in the media just kind of creates. So I came away, you know, feeling pretty good about where LSU stands entering the back half of spring here with him. We could do a whole lot of DeCorian though, about how good he is, his recruitment, everything.
I'm with you. No one's catching him as number one receiver either. All right, it's all great and good to have a number one quarterback and receiver and running back, but they can do nothing if you don't have a great O-line. LSU has that right now, Billy. Everyone has faith that Brad Davis can keep it rolling. He has the top two offensive linemen in Louisiana committed. And then this weekend, we thought it would be Micah DeBose commit watch. DeBose ends up not making it in. Here's the scuttlebutt that we've picked up. The DeBose camp, mom, everyone, you know, everyone else, coaches, I'm sure, or everyone that's kind of giving him good advice, which I think this is that, hey, take some visits before you shut anything down. And there was a sense that if he visited LSU this weekend, it might be over with. To put it into perspective, he decommitted from Georgia in January, Billy. He only had a couple of weeks time before the dead period hit. He visits LSU. The dead period goes all of February. It opens up in March, and he immediately says, okay, I'm going to go back to LSU. And the feeling was like, okay, he's probably going to pop. I think that his camp is right in thinking, okay, if you just decommitted from Georgia, at least take a look around. A lot of teams have been putting in work on you. You've got relationships. Go visit all the schools. Then when you're ready, go ahead and make a decision. So I won't be surprised if he pops back up for like the spring game or in late March or whatever it is. And maybe in that time he's made some visits and he has a better feel for things, but I am not pressing the panic button here. I still think LSU is 100% the team to beat just after talking to some sources about it.
Yeah, agreed. I think, I mean, you said it really well. There's really not too much to add. I do think this is a case of his camp wanting him to, you know, continue to take a look around at options. And if you still feel LSU is the place to be, then, you know, you can do the whole, you know, commitment post or video or whatever you want to do, round two, I guess. So,
yeah. And if you're LSU, you're good with that because Brad Davis and this staff, they know what they've put into it. Don't commit and then decommit later because you're like, oh, I rushed it. I really only had no chance to look at other schools after I dropped Georgia and kind of got on board with LSU immediately. So I support it. I'd rather a kid take the visits than decide.
And Brad Davis, and I've been working on a story for a little bit now on Brad Davis and kind of how he goes about recruiting offensive linemen. Remember, we're coming up on a year, you know, anniversary or whatever you want to call it, when we all thought they were going to get Marcus Muscol in last year's recruiting cycle. And I mean, he was a silent. I mean, they thought he was coming, but Brad Davis just keeps recruiting like, you know, all of his guys are going to get taken. I mean, you know, that's just how he recruits.
He turns around and in the final rankings, at least got guys that were better than Muscol. I mean, they ended up, you know, they flip Weston Davis, they get Cohen Eccles, they close on Ori Williams. So,
yeah.
I don't count out Brad Davis. And he handed out a new offer in Mississippi. Well, we'll talk about two guys, but both Mississippi. But yes, we both still feel good about DeBose. Tyler Miller is one we're still watching. Number one interior offensive lineman in the country on three. He's coming out of Laurel, Mississippi. LSU staff has some ties to that Pine Belt region area. So that's got their foot in the door here a little bit more than maybe it would be normally. But Laurel isn't that far of a drive from LSU. That being said, much like with Caleb Cunningham, the five-star receiver out of Mississippi, when you're recruiting Mississippi kids that Ole Miss and State want, and it doesn't matter what the status of their program is, I feel like we say this all the time, it's very tough to get them. And maybe even in the NIL era, it becomes tougher. But I do know that from talking with sources, Tyler Miller doesn't say a lot, doesn't do a ton of interviews, but that LSU is sitting very high on his list. Whenever they offered back in the summer, early fall, that was a big deal, and getting him into campus this weekend was a big deal. So it was like, as soon as we found out DeBose and Lamont Rogers, who rescheduled his visit, weren't coming, it was like, boom, here comes Tyler Miller, the number one interior offensive lineman. And it speaks to what we said. Brad Davis sort of just never lets up.
Yeah, 100%. And he's a really, really good prospect. I mean, like you said, number one interior offensive lineman for on three. And another guy out of Mississippi, I mean, that, you know, LSU's just trying to make waves for and stay in the mix and ride out whatever wave there is of a push from the in-state schools. And a couple sources around his recruitment are, you know, pretty much whittling this one down to the in-state programs in LSU. I know Florida has a, you know, little bit of a chunk of the on-three RPM there, but I think this is LSU versus the Mississippi schools at this point. And, you know, that's kind of all you can ask for. And they've kind of gone down this road with couple of Mississippi guys at various positions over time, and they've had some luck, some not. But you know, when you're recruiting a guy that is this highly thought of and sought after, especially in the state of Mississippi, it's not gonna be easy. But you know, if it was easy, I mean, those are guys you don't necessarily want. So Brad Davis continues to just shoot for the stars there, and he made a really nice offer in a guy to Mario Nash, who's a kind of a different player than Tyler Miller, where Miller's a big, big boy. Mario Nash is an offensive tackle. He's about 270, so he can put a little bit of weight on, but is another guy who's highly recruited as well. And he actually visited for a game this fall, so he's been on the radar for LSU for a minute. And now with his return to LSU, they're now in the mix with an offer.
Yep, I like it. And look, this is guys who pop up that suddenly we'll probably have to start tracking. It happens every spring where we didn't talk about him at all. They get offered, and suddenly they're firmly in the mix. And he is committed. He is committed to state. No. Or does State just lead the way on the on-three RPM?
State leads the way on the on-three RPM.
Okay, I don't think that, as evidenced by this past cycle, that Brad Davis is afraid to recruit guys who are committed to schools or not, because we saw him recruit Micah DeBose when he was committed to Georgia, but just this last cycle, flipping multiple A&M guys. I'd have to think how Callaway was a straight-up commit. They were his very first offer. Kyrie Lee was a commit. They were one of his first offers. And who would have been? Joe Cryer. So flip from Ole Miss. Yeah. So more than half the group were flips, I think. Yeah. At least half of it. So, yes, it does. I don't think whether a kid is committed or not really matters to Brad Davis right now.
No. And it shouldn't. And
he's just going to go all out.
Yeah. Brad, we've said this for a while. I mean, he probably has the biggest board out of anyone. I know, you know, there's five offensive linemen, but really he casts a wide net. And as he's gotten even more settled in at LSU and he's built more and more relationships, he's not necessarily had to be as, you know, wide with his net in a sense, but he still recruits. I mean, he just his tail off. I mean, he is, you know, when it's an open period, he's hitting, you know, this school, that city. He's on the move. He's looking to evaluate guys and looking to get his foot in the door. So kudos to Brad Davis, always making it fun for us to cover his recruiting. Speaking of fun and speaking of getting your foot in the door, you should get your foot in the door with our friend Andy Ludeke at MyPerfectFranchise.net. If you're ready to leave that corporate rat race for the American dream, if you're looking for a side hustle while working your current job, or if you're looking to diversify, build wealth, and leave a legacy for your family, your kids, Andy can help. He's a franchise consultant and a franchise owner and helps people find franchises that fit their skills, their time commitments, their financial requirements, all of those things. His services are completely free to walk you through that. And if you email him, Andy, A-N-D-Y, at myperfectfranchise.net, or give him a call, 404-973-9901, he can help you find the right franchise opportunity for you. He's kind of filled us in on some of the recent trends with franchises, which ones to avoid that aren't doing as well. It's always interesting to hear him go in depth on it. So you can hear more from him when you reach out to him, Andy at myperfectfranchise.net, and check out his process, how it works, and how you can leave a legacy for your family and diversify wealth and leave that corporate rat race for franchise opportunities. So check him out, Andy at myperfectfranchise.net.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Shay, it's time to flip over to the defensive side of the ball, and we already talked about it early in this podcast, but people always want to know about the defensive linemen. So while we started with Charles Ross, people were probably like, okay, sweet, they're going to go right into defensive line after this. Nope, we made you wait a little bit longer. And this is a big weekend for Bo Davis.
I feel like we finally got a little more of a feel for maybe which direction Bo Davis could go with things. And I don't know where we kind of want to start it off. Let's start it off here. In Louisiana right now, correct me if I'm wrong, only one D lineman has an offer. That's Corey Adams out of Edna Carr. We wrote about this on the site, The Prowl, which is one of our big recruiting kind of pieces that we do on the Bengal Tiger. I touched on this. I think they go on a little bit of a run at Edna Carr. They've already got Teron Francis committed, but Corey Adams is Edna Carr's big D lineman for this year. I think that they'll end up getting him. Again, correct me if I'm wrong. That would make one D-line commit. They don't have any yet, right?
Correct.
Okay. So Bo Davis, kind of starting from scratch here, how does he build out his board? We'll count an in-state guy in. Let's say Corey Adams ends up at LSU. You pegged this one early on in Zion Williams, who, kid coming out of Lufkin in Texas. Right away, Bo Davis was recruiting him at Texas, gets to LSU, reaches out to him, kind of re-offers Billy a handful, let's say eight to 10 guys that he really liked at Texas. He reoffers at LSU. Zion visited right away in January. Then he was back this weekend again. I'll let you take this from here because you caught up with him, but why shouldn't this remind me of a guy we're going to talk about in a minute in five-star DJ Pickett or Micah DeBose, guys who visited right there at the end before the dead period in January, February's dead period lasts the whole month. Then the second it ends, they're back on campus again. So if you're given a school back-to-back visits after a month stretch where you couldn't visit anywhere, and then you want to go right back to that school, that leads me to believe they're making some sort of big impact here. So Texas has been considered the school to beat. Am I wrong in thinking that hiring Texas's D-line coach and the work he's putting in is making LSU the team to beat?
I think this is, if LSU ends up reeling in Zion Williams, he is one of the quintessential watch what they do, not what they say type of prospects, because as soon as Bo Davis was hired, and Zion's, you can get in touch with him. He's great. He responds and all those things, but he does kind of, you know, he doesn't tweet out much. Like hasn't tweeted out a picture with Bo Davis and anything like that. Even back when he was at Texas, I scanned through his social media trying to find one, but he came right away to Baton Rouge to see it. And Bo Davis told him, come on down and make the trip. And he did. And then he told me after that visit, he was going to come back for the spring game and then set an official visit. Well, he ends up moving that timeline up. So now I would expect him back for the spring game at this point. And he just swung through for another visit to catch not even spring ball. He came in on Saturday after lifting at the state power meet, the powerlifting meet, or excuse me, a regional to punch his ticket to state. And he comes in for a visit just to hang out on Saturday and, spend time with Bo Davis. And there were multiple big-time defensive linemen. You can check out most of them on thebengaltiger.com. we'll touch on a couple here, but Bo Davis had a really incredible visitor list, and Zion Williams is, I would, you know, there might be guys that might be higher on his board, maybe, but I mean, in terms of priority, he made him one right away. And LSU, I would say, is the team to beat. And that is kind of backed up by sources around Texas, too.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that track their actions, right? And his actions speak to him having very sincere interest in LSU now that Bo Davis is here. We didn't talk about him much, did we, before Bo Davis got here? Suddenly we're talking about him a ton. So early impact being made by Bo Davis there. We put out a visitor list, Billy, with like well over 50 names. Two guys we didn't have on it, which Bo Davis working in silence out here. One of them, when we went over the visitor names, you said, I bet this kid visits. It's an Auburn commit, Jordan Crawford. But they had two SEC commits in town, a Mississippi State one as well. And you posted this first and kind of went into detail on Jeremiah McLeod. But coming out of Florida, committed to State. But since being committed to State, he's gotten an offer from LSU and Bo Davis. He's gotten an offer from the in-state Florida Gators. There's buzz that Georgia could be soon to offer. And Paul Jones over at the On3 Mississippi State site this past week said, hey, look, he's visiting LSU this weekend. He mentioned the other things about the new offers and said he knows that State staff realizes we're holding on for dear life here. Like, we got to really buckle in to keep him committed. He visits LSU. The buzz you got and then the buzz I got matched up. It seems like LSU and Davis and the staff made a big splash here. And did he commit, you know, go public? No. But knowing that he's at least looking around from State, LSU is absolutely in the picture here. So add another D-lineman, despite a commitment to State, as someone we're monitoring closely. Is this someone in Jeremiah McLeod that they can add to the class?
Yeah, and this is one that, if LSU does reel in, you can point to this past weekend is when the wheels really got set in motion. And you know, Zion, we can point back, you know, to Bo's time at Texas and things like that. But, you know, Jeremiah McLeod comes in for his first visit to LSU. He's going to go visit Georgia and Florida, I believe. He'll make it back to LSU. We do know that. And, you know, there is a lot of buzz around LSU. So as you go through the spring and if he does come back, you got to feel like we do right now, that LSU is sitting in a really good spot here in this recruitment, but we'll be keeping a close eye on this one because they have made such quick waves with him. And the buzz is certainly, you know, around LSU's chances to push this one across the finish line. But again, he is taking more visits. That is something that we're keeping an eye on, but they've just done a really nice job. And he spoke really highly of the offer right away when he got it too. So despite being a kid from, you know, Florida, kind of out of nowhere, getting an LSU offer, I don't believe he had one from Bo at Texas. So a good evaluation by LSU and a guy that has picked up a lot of recruiting steam since. They've made quick work and they're now very much a factor in the race here.
Yeah. And again, Auburn commit Jordan Crawford was the other we mentioned, and they had a number of D linemen on campus. You even tossed in an early RPM pick for next year. For an in-state D-lineman, I think another guy we'd watch is, well, you'll throw him on the screen. If you're watching on YouTube, you see who Billy Budd is picking for, but an in-state lineman from up north in the Monroe area, you feel good about that Bo Davis has already gotten to campus and offered. Another, let's go back to Edna Carr, Richard Anderson, I think, is one that we're keeping an eye on after kind of the buzz we've heard on just LSU wanting to start to knock down some dominoes there. So I feel like, Billy, that after this weekend, it brought a little bit of clarity, not full clarity, but some, as to who Bo Davis is going after and maybe who they have a shot at.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I don't know if I've had a pick in on Richard Anderson, but he's probably somebody that, yeah, I don't think so. I don't think any of us do. So probably need to make one, have one in on Aiden Hall, his 4-star safety teammate, who is also on campus, and you know, LSU is in a very good spot there. So cleaning up at Carr potentially is in the future. But I'll note this on Dylan Berryman really quickly. You can tell the LSU offer was huge for him. You know, just kind of living out a dream, getting that. And he has really picked up recruiting steam. Dennis Johnson, friend of the program, offered him before heading off to be the Baltimore Ravens defensive line coach. Yeah. And so, you know, nice early eval by Meatball there. And he had a good showing at Under Armour Dallas as a younger prospect, making his way over all the way from Monroe to compete. So LSU with a nice evaluation there, a big plug in the middle, strong at the point of attack. You know, the one-on-one drills with offensive linemen sometimes aren't the best for a kind of a, I mean, I would classify him pretty much as a nose, but he did get his, I think he won a couple reps in the one-on-one. So he's got a lot of talent. It's a good crop, a real good crop, 2026 defensive lineman.
Yeah, you're not allowed to bull rush in one-on-ones without pads, so you don't see a true nose tackles game. But, yes, I like how things are setting up. Next year is going to be really good on the D-line, even in Louisiana, because, look, we just mentioned two. We put on three RPM picks in a week ago for the number one player in the country, in Jakeem Stewart, who plays on the defensive line coming out of St. Augs. So, there's others, a lot of talent in Louisiana next year on the D-line. So they'll be heavy on it. Let's see what they get out of state this year. Billy, we started this off by talking linebackers. Blake Baker, he's got Charles Cross committed out of North Shore in Houston. Got Keelan Moses committed. That's two. We figured they'll end up with four, probably three or four linebackers is what you usually want, especially in Baker's scheme. Thoughts on getting the number one and two linebackers in the country on campus this weekend, one out of Texas, one out of Mississippi.
Yeah, Jonah Williams is somebody that Blake Baker loves, and his former high school coach is actually the coach down there at Ball, I believe. So some ties there that Coach Baker is working on to get LSU in position here. And they're probably going into this past weekend viewed as a team on the outside looking in. But LSU's working the baseball angle with him. He's a big baseball prospect. He's also somebody that wants to play safety. And LSU's going to recruit him at safety and give it a go if they were to get him on that front. So when you're in a high-stakes recruitment like this and you have an athlete as good as Jonah Williams, if he wants to try safety, you know what? Give it a go and see how it goes and let things all pan out there. He's got early on three RPM picks in to land at OU. We'll be interesting to see how this one plays out. I mean, Texas, Ohio State, Oregon, some other big names there. I'd imagine the Longhorns are going to make a big push, but being down in Galveston, you know, that's an area that LSU should really, really be working hard. And I think, you know, Blake Baker's ties to the Houston area, they'll want to do that as well and keep working their way back in there. Kind of like they worked their way into Dallas. They need to work their way back into Houston a little bit more. And work, you know, that corridor there. And Jonah Williams is somebody that LSU feels like they probably made a couple of steps in the right direction. We'll see how long his recruitment goes. But between him and Tavion Wallace, who's on three's number two linebacker in the country, LSU had some serious talent on campus this weekend at the linebacker or Blake Baker's, you know, recruiting targets, so to speak. And Tavion Wallace did visit LSU, I believe, for a game this fall. Who's a target under, you know, Matt House and, you know, Bobby Barham's playing a role here with him being a Georgia kid as well. His brother, Trevin, is a former Kentucky Wildcat who's going to be an NFL draft pick, really talented guy coming out of high school as well. So LSU's just swinging away at linebackers. They've got two really good ones committed now. They need to add at least one more.
I think more names are going to pop up too. That happens at linebacker. I remember it was Whit Weeks committed in the middle of the summer after getting kind of a later offer. So Luke linebackers.
So
yeah. And with a new staff, with Baker watching more film, getting to see more guys in person. Then you measure them, you get a feel for them, put them in the film room, see if you like them more or less, whatever it might be. So I think linebacker with two commitments, I feel good about where they're at right now.
Yeah. And you've got to feel good about where they're at with DJ Pickett, the 5-star defensive back. Good little segue there from the Sunshine State. He was back on campus this past weekend or, you know, heading into the weekend, however you want to look at it, getting more time around Corey Raymond. And I think if I put the visit in, I haven't done that before yet. I don't think maybe somebody has, but the on three RPM might update even more to be giving LSU a shot in this recruitment. So he'll be on campus for an official visit heading into the month of June, which will be a big opportunity as well. He's got some officials lined up already. But for LSU, they continue to just assert themselves as a big player in this recruitment. And Corey Raymond, the comfort around him, you know, we talked about the kind of early goings of his recruitment when it came to LSU getting involved once Corey got back to LSU was about, you know, maybe just distance playing a factor here in some way. Maybe going out of state was a preferred thing. And, you know, he's just pressed the right buttons and he'll have more opportunities to do that in the future as well.
Yeah, look, I mean, they're going to be deep on a number, and we'll talk about it on a lot of podcasts coming up at DB, of as Corey Raymond and Jake Olson and Blake Baker as a DC figure out where they're going at corner. They have an elite corner committed already in Jabori Antoine, but how they fill out the safety and DB room, who's going to play nickel, all these different things. When Corey Raymond got hired, it meant shoot for the stars, right? That was the expectation. He was going to come in and be able to up the level of recruiting. It doesn't get any bigger than DJ Pickett. And I mentioned a minute ago, the connection he had from Florida right when he got hired and named the coach, he reaches out to DJ Pickett. He says, hey, look, I'm at LSU now. Come check it out. Pickett immediately comes in January. The February dead period hits. And right when it ends, Pickett's right back on campus. Now, he's going to take a number of visits. I think, though, that if you polled all of these coaches, Billy, who are in the mix here, hey, who do you think right now leads for DJ Pickett? Everyone would be hard-pressed not to say LSU, because look at what he's done since Corey Raymond's been hired. He's barely visited anywhere else. It's just been LSU. Those visits are coming, but I think LSU not only hiring Raymond, but getting these two visits probably puts them in that spot where other teams are chasing them. And this is the number one corner in America.
Yeah, and Chris Ewald was another four-star prospect who was on campus, another defensive back that Corey's been recruiting for a minute as well. I think he was committed to Michigan and Miami at one point, but he's a guy in the on 300, top 200 prospect, 4-on-3. And so the net is kind of cast wide here. You know, you've got Jabori Antoine already on board. You're making huge waves with DJ Pickett. And so I just think I really trust with where this safety room and cornerback room is going now that the new staff is in place. You know, it's just a certain floor, and we've talked about it. There's a certain floor that's being recruited now in the secondary, and you can tell that by the guys who made it to campus and the guys that they're targeting overall.
Yeah, look, and here's the reality of it. I think this is a good way to wrap it up. They have the number one class in the country. They have 10 commitments. It's really highlighted, though, by the guys on offense, right? You've got a top 100 O-lineman. You've got the number one quarterback, receiver, and running back. All those things are great, right? Like, awesome. That side of the ball continues to get stronger. We know the defense, when Brian Kelly fires every defensive staff member and hires all these new guys, that's one fix. The other fix is players, and they're going to have to continue to recruit. So I think the hope is that this visit weekend goes a long way to getting guys like DJ Pickett, to getting maybe another linebacker in addition to Charles Ross, but at least getting him on board, to getting some of these D linemen, you know, whether it means flipping them or landing a Zion Williams or whatever it might be. I do think we can go back in the end, Billy, and look, yes, they need to fix the defensive side. Yes, that's where recruiting needs to heat up in the coming months and certainly before signing day. Let's go back, and this is always a good thing to do. Let's go back at signing day and see who they sign and see how many of those guys on defense were here this weekend. We're here for that junior day in January, because I feel like they've done a really, really good job of getting their top targets to campus early in the spring before they go see other schools.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they have. And we've said this a lot. LSU has pressed the right buttons when it comes to that for a while now, as they've gotten more settled in as a staff. And I know we're about to go into, you know, season 3 of Brian Kelly. And so now it's like, okay, why do you keep bringing that up? But it's a reality. I mean, a lot of the staff, you know, on and off the field have been together, even though they turned over the entire defensive staff. The defensive staff that is now in place, they know each other. They've either all worked with each other before at one little moment in time. They're all from Louisiana, or they all, you know, really have close ties to each other. So there is a sense that they know their board. They know what they need to revamp this personnel and make it, you know, kind of up to a little bit more of the standard that LSU has set in the past. I mean, that was one thing that was brought up to me this weekend, and you kind of, you know, talked about it too a little bit in one of your pieces, was that you look at a guy like Zion Williams and Jordan Crawford walking through the door, and I mean, those are impressive guys. Those are guys that are meant to play in the SEC. Heck, Jordan Crawford's committed to Auburn, so that makes a ton of sense. When you have a staff that understands – what it takes from a personnel, size, athletic perspective to recruit guys. You couple that with them making good inroads with these prospects, whether you get them committed early or whether you're red hot on their tail to get them on board. It's a good combination. It's one of the reasons why they can ride the wave of the offensive guys, but they really do have a shot at the number one overall class, because if you couple those things together and they pick up some of the guys that they're in good position for now, they're going to be right in the hunt for that number one class.
Yeah, this is two top five classes in back-to-back years on three for Brian Kelly and company. So to be sitting at one now, that's exactly what you want. In the portal era, if you're a program like Brian Kelly who still wants to focus on high school and development, get top five classes. They've done it 2 years in a row. They've got number one right now. Things are going well in Baton Rouge. That's about as good as you can kind of hope for right now, is that they have the number one class and they're not resting on their laurels. They're getting their visitor list this weekend was better than anyone else's in the country. And it showed. I mean, there was a lot of high level prospects.
No doubt. So we'll be here for you guys. Cover it every step of the way at thebengaltiger.com. Subscribe for just $1 for your first month. Get all the intel you want on the Tigers and where they're trending in the recruiting world, as well as spring football coverage, basketball, all the things. We've got you covered at thebengaltiger.com. So hit that subscribe button to our YouTube channel, wherever you catch the podcast, and also check us out at thebengaltiger.com. For Shea Dixon, I'm Billy Embody, wrapping up another edition of the Bengal Tiger Recruiting Podcast. We'll catch you next week with another edition. Thanks for listening.